Let's look at 1 John chapter 5. We'll get here.
Won't be there this morning. Yeah.
Momentarily.
I could have swore when he said you were done, he said something else, but no, he didn't say that.
That's terrible. You need hearing aids.
Sorry, Brother Scott. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 1 through 4, please join me on verse 2 and 4. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
1 John chapter 5 is a special chapter. I flee to it often. I use it often. And I want to help you tonight. Man wants to be spiritual, but man tries to be spiritual in his way. Most religion is man's attempt to impress God with how good man is. May I say something? You can't impress God. No sinner can impress God. We don't have enough goodness in us to impress God. The sinless one cannot be impressed with the sinner. No matter how much you clean up the sinner, God's not impressed. You see, God is righteousness. He said our righteousness is as filthy rags. Filthy rags don't impress God. Part of man's philosophy of wanting to impress God is that man has to do everything with the right motive. I am sick up to here with quote-unquote religious or spiritual people that say, well, if you go to church for the right reason. If you pray, pray with the right attitude. Bless God, I don't care why you come to church. I don't care if your mama brings you here kicking and screaming. Sit down, shut up, and listen to the preacher. I'd rather preach to a jerk in the pew than to an empty pew. In other words, they think that we should make sure that we are doing everything for the right reason, or we're not spiritual. Now hang on, I'm going somewhere. They believe wrongly. And I'm going to show you scripturally, and I will back it scripturally. We Christians will not be judged in heaven by why we do what we do. We will be judged by what we do. God said that we will be judged by the words or the deeds done in the flesh. It didn't say our motives. It didn't say the reasons why we did it. God says, according to our deeds done in this body, we will be judged. Please allow me to simplify the Christian life and the Word of God for you. I don't know about you, but I get a little tired of people that make the Bible too hard to be done. Say, preacher, you seem to be a bit simple. Thank you very much. I'm simple on purpose, but I understand the deep truths of God are simple. Profundity travels on the wheel of simplicity. It is not something that is complex that is big. It's the simple that is big. We pass by the biggest things thinking the complex will make me sound smarter than somebody else. Well, I hate to tell you something. If you don't know your math tables, you'll never get through algebra. If you don't know how to add, subtract, multiply, or divide, you'll never get to calculus. If you don't know the basics, you can't do the rest of it. So it is the simple that is important, not the complex. Because the complex is just more of the simple. I don't care if you go to calc or trig. I don't care if you go to ethereal calc and trig. I don't care if you go to any other high level math. It's still add, subtract, multiply, divide. Plain and simple. I don't care if it's got numbers or letters added to it. Don't care if it's got square roots or round roots. I don't care what it's got. It doesn't matter what it has. It's still add, subtract, multiply, divide. It is the simple that is complex, not the complex. So, let's break the Bible down to make it simple so we can all do it. God wants us to obey Him and His Word. If you wrote that one statement down, that is the whole Christian life. God wants us to obey Him and His Word. Let me say this, and I will say it over and over. God does not care what reason or what attitude for obeying is. He just wants you to obey. God wants your obedience more than He wants the right motive. God wants your obedience more than a right attitude. Now I'm fixing to take these deeper lifers and kick them right square in the seat of the britches. But let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. Cain, don't turn there. God told them to bring a sacrifice every year as representation of salvation. He said it had to be an animal sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, because plants weren't going to do it. God saved the animals on the ark, not the plants. Amen? Vegetarians aren't real smart. Now, wait a second. I want you to notice something. Cain was a tiller of the ground, but Abel, his brother, was a sheep herder. He took care of the animals. And Cain one day came with a bad attitude and said, God, I've brought of the fruit of the ground, and here you go. Here's my sacrifice. And God came to Cain and said, Cain, I have no respect for your sacrifice. I don't accept it. He literally uses the word, I have no respect. He said, you're supposed to take that and buy something from your brother and bring to me as a blood sacrifice. And Cain says, if you don't like what I have, too bad. And God said, Cain, if you'll just open the door, I have a lamb crouched ready to jump into your arms. I'll even provide the sacrifice for you, but it has to be my way. He said, I'm not doing it. Now listen to me. God didn't say, change your attitude, Cain. He said, obey me. Yes, sir. You never one time see God judging Cain's attitude. He said, obey me. Open the door. Bring a blood sacrifice. Let's go farther down through Scripture. A man everybody in here knows, a man named Jonah. Jonah was a preacher. Jonah at one time was a very powerful preacher. But Jonah was told by God to go to a place called Nineveh and preach. And Jonah said, I ain't going there. And you don't understand, the Ninevites were, that would be like President Trump saying he wants me to go to Iran and preach to the terrorist people. That's the equivalent of this. Do you know what the Ninevites were doing to Christians? They were taking fish hooks and putting in all 10 of their fingernails, hanging them and cutting their flesh off while they were still alive and filleting them alive like you would a fish. They hated Christianity. They hated the truth. These were God-hating people. These were not nice people. This wasn't a city ripe for revival. And Jonah said, I ain't going. And gets in a ship and goes the opposite way. And after a storm comes up, decides he's the reason for the storm. They throw him overboard, gets swallowed by a whale. That whale swims around for 3 days and three nights, burps him up on the ground. He runs 3 days journey in one and begins to preach, and the entire city of Nineveh gets saved. Estimated over 250,000 people saved at one time. And that's a conservative number. The entire city gets saved. Jonah sits down and said, God, that's why I didn't want to come. I told you that was going to happen. And he was mad that 250,000 people got saved. The greatest revival in world history was preached by a backslidden preacher who didn't even want the people to get saved. But he was scared to death that whale was going to swallow him again. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy, and I think God enjoys, when people do things with the right attitude. According to 1 John chapter 5, verse number 3, the Bible says this, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. But God didn't say that with this we know the love of God, that we do his commandments with the right attitude. I find no motive, no attitude mentioned. Only that we obey his commandments. Now listen to me very carefully here. God does not say, I love those who keep my commandments and wait till they have the right attitude to do them before they do them. Uh-oh. I have a problem with that, and so does God. God doesn't say, wait till you have the right motivation before you do something. He said, obey. Delayed obedience is disobedience. How can we get up and preach? Well, you have to wait till you have the right attitude before you do this. And be right with God. You can't. When I was a kid and Dad said, take the trash out. And I said, Dad, I don't want to. He didn't say, well, wait till you have the right attitude and then take the trash out. He had something called an attitude adjuster. And he applied it to the seed of knowledge. I still didn't have a good attitude, but I got the obedience part down real quick. You don't fix a problem by waiting till you have the right attitude. No, you obey, and obedience is immediate. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Parents, did you hear what I just said? You do that one more time for the 40th time. No, you speak once and act upon it, because delayed obedience is disobedience. So I don't like that. No parent likes that. No parent wants the war, but if you win the war early, you don't fight it as long. Win it at 3, you don't have to fight it as hard at 13. You wait to fight it at 13, you lost the battle. Why would God be more happy with waiting on us to do things with the right motive than without us obeying immediately? God wants us to obey whether you've got a right attitude or not. God wants our obedience. God didn't say, Cain, wait till you have the right attitude, and then I'll do this for you. You do this, I'll give you something good. He said, obey. If you obey, I'll keep from smacking you upside the head. Yeah. By the way, it was after Cain's disobedience, he went out and killed Abel. I'm not really sure that God cares about why we do something. He just simply wants our obedience. Everybody look at me for a second. I'm not sure God cares why people didn't show up at church today. I think he just wanted them to be at church. I know we have people that are out with family and different things, and many went to church in other places today. I get that. But I don't think God cares whether people were with family or at a football game or a baseball game or a basketball game or a hockey rink or just at the lake or went fishing or just sitting at home doing nothing. I don't think God cares why. He wants our obedience. The Christian life is so much easier when we focus on obedience instead of motives. We're too hung up on why. Let me give you a few thoughts and we'll go to the house. Number one, man wants motivated because he wants to decide if and when he'll obey. I know this is going to shock you. I'm not a motivational preacher. I couldn't give a TED talk if I had to. I don't even know who Ted is. But I'd talk to him. I'm not here to make everybody, wow. I'm here to flop the truth out. It's kind of like Army Chow around here. You put your plate out, we flop it on. You say, what's that? Just shove it down the pie hole. You'll be okay. Don't ask what. Just push it down the hole and swallow. Amen. It may not taste good. It may not always look appealing. But I promise you this, it'll keep you going in the battle. Yes. You need motivation because you have to decide whether or not you want to obey. I don't need motivated to read my Bible. I read my Bible because I'm supposed to. I don't need motivated to pray. I pray because I need to talk to God and get some answers from heaven. It's not a matter of I need to be motivated. I don't come to church and, oh God, motivate me. Oh, let's have a little talk with Jesus and let's have the toe-tapping music. And I'm not against toe-tapping music, but it's not there to motivate you. It's to get you to get closer to God. Motivation has the root word motive. In other words, we want to decide whether it's important enough for us to do or not. Convince me, preacher, I'm supposed to do this. Well, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. If that's not motivation, I don't know what is. Well, that's not stimulating my intellectualism. Well, it's going to stimulate something else later in life. So I happen to know people that can do it in a more suave or more calm way. Well, bless God, if your house was on fire and your family was in it, do you want us to wait to call 911 till we have the right motive? Or would you rather have somebody beating on the side of your house, trying to wake everybody up, hollering and screaming to get you out of your bed so you don't fry in your own house? Well, I don't know what the right motive is, but trying to keep you from burning in hell, it's pretty important to me. Motives or motivation is based on the body and the soul, and it is never spiritual. you will find zero spiritual motivation in Scripture. Look at John chapter 4. Book of John, not 1 John. John chapter 4. Look at verse number 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must be worship him in spirit, notice the small s, and in truth. Look at me. It didn't say with the right attitude. It didn't say with the right motive. It didn't say because we love God so much that I just want to do this. No, we do it because it's right to do. Most motives are based on feelings and desires. Some are based on intellectual sense. But motives based on obedience is simple. My motive is to obey God. Period. I'd rather do my duty and not feel anything, which I don't understand, because just obeying should bring a spiritual accomplishment to you. I was talking to Brother Arcola, I think, today or yesterday. And when I had to go through my foot surgery and things, I was on pain medication for about 10 days, maybe 2 weeks. It was the longest 10 days, 2 weeks of my adult life. You say, why, preacher? I don't know how to explain it. But you cannot be on that kind of medication and be spiritual. It affects the spirit. I read my Bible as much as I always did in between the as I looked at it. But as I read my Bible, nothing came across the pages to me. There were days I would weep and say, God, are you never going to speak to me again? I can't wait to get off this medication. Remember after about a day or so off the medication, I was reading my Bible and it just began to come back. God and I were talking. I thought, whew. The drugs have a way of keeping you from being spiritual.
That's right.
I'm not saying you should never take pain medication. But there's no way I could get addicted to that stuff because I'm addicted to talking to God. God says he wants obedience over sacrifice. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24, God says it's better to obey than sacrifice. May I say something? The Christian life comes down to one word, obey. Did you know that tithing is not by faith, it's by obedience? I'm not here to get more money. That's not what I'm talking about. But I know preachers that get up and say, well, you wait till you have the right motive before you start giving. No, God says, he said, I'd rather have a cheerful giver, but he'll take any old grump that'll obey. My Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. They've got it backwards when they say, wait till you have your heart in it before you give. It'll never be that way. You got the cart pushing the horse. You obey, then the heart follows. Now, God says, I'd rather you enjoy your duty. I'd rather you enjoy your obedience. But even if you don't, obey. God doesn't want the occasional sacrifice. He wants the daily obedience. God does not care about our motive. He cares about our obedience. Delayed obedience, listen to this, for any reason is not obedience. God, I'll get to it when I can. God wants us to obey no matter the reason why we obey. Well, I don't think you ought to bribe people to come to church. I don't think you ought to offer children candy and bubble gum to get on a van or a bus and come to church. I don't think they're coming to church for the right reason. Well, you're sitting at home for the wrong reason too. Show me in the Bible where that's bribing. Show me in the Bible where that's a bad attitude. Well, I know somebody went to church and the only reason they went there was to find a girlfriend. Well, at least they know where to go to find a good one. And you know how many of those I've seen get saved? So, listen to this next statement. Christianity based on motives is actually baby Christianity, not deeper liferism. If you have to wait on a motive, that's what a child does. Well, I don't want to do it right now. I'll do it when I want to do it. Well, when mommy and daddy say do it, that's the time to do it because that should be the right motive. Otherwise, there's pain coming. You motivate a child to do something because they don't have the character to do it on their own yet. How do you motivate them? It's called spanking. Not called candy, it's called spanking. See why? Because they're hard-headed like their parents. They're sinners like you and me. Well, I just don't like that. Obedience doesn't require you liking it. You know, there's things I do I don't like, but I still do it. God is more pleased with Christians who obey without him having to bribe them like a child. When are we going to grow up as Christians and quit making God say, come on and I'll give you something? How about you go because you're supposed to, and then you say, oh God, look how good you were. You didn't have to bribe me, but look what I found. Well, don't get me started on this. Bible scholars try to convince you that there are deeper motives than obedience. It is more mature to wait till you have the right attitude. You know what they are? A bunch of backslidden, good-for-nothing, do-nothings. Wouldn't walk across the street and tell anybody about Jesus because they're so robed in, well, I don't want to appear like I'm too proud. Well, you're too proud to go across the street and tell some old drunk how to get saved. Some of you are so, God changed your life and you're so afraid to use your old life. Can I tell you something? You're too afraid to tell somebody you were an old drunk one time or a drug addict. It's called your pride's gotten in your way and God can't use you fully because you won't obey him fully. You shouldn't have to be bribed and examine your motives. God just wants your obedience. God wants us to obey. Number two, God wants our obedience and does not care about its motive. 1 John 5:3, if you love me, keep my commandments. Chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. Peter, do you love me? Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Keep my commandments. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Keep my commandments. Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, this is the third time in a row you've asked me this. He said, keep my commandments. Feed my sheep. Not why do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Then he says, I want you to do something, not tell me the motive why. If you love me, feed my sheep. He said, you'll prove to me you love me when you obey me. I love it when you get to the book of 1 Peter. I think it's chapter 4, might be chapter 5. It says, feed the flock. He finally got it. He finally got it. Feed the flock. Not feed the sheep or feed the lambs. Feed the whole group of them. Man needs to quit trying to examine why we should obey and just obey. The byproduct of obedience is understanding. It comes after the obedience, not before. Understanding comes after the obedience, not before. I watch Michael sometimes play and work with our grandson. And he'll give him real tools and teach him how to put a screwdriver and put it in and turn the screw. No, not the circular saw. He has more sense than that. But I will tell you this. Hudson doesn't understand why you got to do it. He's just having fun doing it. But it doesn't come, the understanding comes after the obedience. Man, in his sinfulness and foolishness, wants to understand before he obeys. Well, you show me why I should do this, and then I'll decide if I want to. Same illustration. Take the trash out. Well, Dad, show me why I should want to, then I'll decide if I want to. I'll show you why you should want to, because if you don't, I'm going to beat the tar out of your hindermost parts. And then you're going to do it anyway. Now you decide, do you want the whooping or do you want to do it without the whooping? I was smart enough to do it without the whooping most of the time. Everybody listen to this. Obedience requires no thinking. If you have to think about it before you do it, you did not obey. How many of you remember the game Simon Says? All right. Simon Says, raise your right hand. Okay, those of you that aren't playing, get playing. All right? Simon Says, put your left hand up. Okay, put your right hand down. You're out. Now, wait a minute. Isn't it amazing? You can put your hands down. You all lost. Simon Says, put your hands down. Now, listen to me. Isn't it amazing? We'll obey a fictional character more than we will the Word of God. God says, do this. Well, why? Obedience requires no thinking. You just do. God did not care about Cain's attitude. He just wanted obedience. God did not care about Jonah's attitude. He just wanted him to go and preach the gospel because God knew those people were going to get saved. They needed the gospel. Obedience to a command brings a character that is higher than any motive that man can muster. Let me say that again. Obedience to a command brings a character that is greater than any man can muster. Why do you think we put our troops through the training they go through? Why do you think the higher you go into special forces and things, they'll tell you your mind plays games with you. Just do what you're told, you won't die. You might feel like it, your brain's going to tell you you're going to die, but you're not going to die, I won't let you die, now do it. Man, they go through some tough stuff. But can I tell you, those that make it all the way through will tell you it's because they obeyed and didn't think about it. God does not care your motive to get the gospel out. He just wants obedience. He doesn't care whether you take tracts and put them on the wine bottles like Paula Howell. And I'll get all the drunks calling me. He doesn't care if you're going to the gas station, passing them out car to car and sticking them on every gas pump. He doesn't care whether you go into Sheets and every other gas station and put it on the cork board on the wall in there. Shoot, I've even found them in gas station bathrooms. No, I haven't gone in there. That would be somebody else. Wiley said he found it in the ladies' room. Did you know that hell continues to fill with people because we're trying to figure out whether we have the right motive for going out? I'm sick and tired of people that say, well, I got to make sure I have the right attitude and right motive before I go out. No, you need to get up, get here, go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ so they don't die and go to hell. I don't know a better motive. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Show me the motive. Show me a motive in there. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Show me a motive. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria to the othermost part of the earth. Show me a motive, just obey. So, let me finish quickly. Number three. How simple, then, is the Christian life? I don't care why someone gets saved. But if they bow their head and trust Jesus Christ as a Savior, they got saved. Amen. You mean somebody who murdered can get saved? Yes, a man like Moses, a man like the Apostle Paul, a man like King David, a man like many people who have murdered got saved. Yes, don't be so shocked. God is not willing that any should perish. You mean Nancy Pelosi could get saved? Yes, and I wish she would. You think Chuck E. Schumer could get saved? Yes, and I wish he would. I'm not for them dying and going to hell, just so you know. They need the gospel more than anybody. You can't get saved for the wrong reason. I said something this morning because I watched somebody turn their nose up and I took another lap. When I said a man got up and preached in junior church on hell, scared a bunch of little boys and girls about a place called hell. See, well, I don't think that's right. Well, this one got saved because of it, and you ought to be thankful for it because you'd be on your way to hell without it. Amen. Well, I don't think that was a good motive. Well, it was good enough for me to get saved. Looked at my Sunday school teacher and said, I don't go there. I've been saved for 54 years now. After you get saved, obey him with baptism and join the church. Did you know there doesn't have to be the right motivation?
Right.
Then you get involved in the church and begin to come to all the services. Start doing things. God wants us separated from the world. Well, that's not the way I see it. I don't care what you see. What does God say? God wants us to read and study his word. He wants us to pray and talk to him. We don't have to wait for the right motivation. He just wants us to do it on a regular basis. One more statement. Obedience is the highest motive needed for God and the easiest for man. What's the best motive, preacher? Obey. I don't know about you, but I'd like to hear someday when I get to heaven, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And there's only one way you're going to hear that, and that's by obeying. God wants your obedience. God wants my obedience. The Christian life doesn't have to be difficult. It comes down to one word. Obey. Simply obey. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Let me ask you a question. How's your obedience? Are we delaying it? Are we questioning it? Are we looking for a higher motivation? How about we get right with God, just say, whatever you say, I'll do. Whatever you say, I'll do it, God.